Welcome to CanTalk 2.0, a podcast by the Goethe Institute Cyprus on the occasion of 300 years since the birth of Immanuel Kant. I am Dr. Christos Hadjioannou, academic philosopher and the host of this podcast, and in the company of Hambis Damianou, stand-up comedian, we will be looking at Kant's work in today's context. Kant's work is considered to be the pinnacle of the philosophy of the Enlightenment. In each episode, we are joined by international guest experts on Kant to ask them what Kant would think about specific situations and examples from today, from artificial intelligence to lying on dating apps. What is it like to look at his ideas from almost 300 years ago through the lens of today? Can we still learn from him? Is he still relevant? In today's episode, Does AI Think for Itself?, we will be talking about Kant and artificial intelligence. Hambis, we chose a fascinating and very hot topic for our first podcast.
Indeed.
Artificial intelligence has really entered our everyday lives now in various ways, and there are a lot of heated debates about it too.
So we all know about the greatest concern about AI and how it is going to take over the world. Me and two friends, comedians, were talking about this one night after a gig, discussing whether AI could replace us, the comedians, in the future and make us redundant. If you have seen me performing on stage, you will have realized that I have icebreaker jokes. I love them because I have to think on my feet and create them on the spot. You don't know who the person in front of you will be beforehand, so any technique or preparation is useless. So we decided to ask ChatGPT to write the perfect icebreaker joke for us. The result was, are you ready? Mm-hmm. I don't know you, so I'm not happy to meet you yet, which is a terrible thing to say for first impression. We all agreed that we are safe for the moment. ChatGPT is terrible at telling jokes. After the discussion, I started thinking about AI and how it works. For example, let's imagine I am meeting someone really, really important and I want to make a really good first impression to them. Let's say I put all the information I know about them into ChatGPT and ask it to write something clever. Is AI really thinking through it, or just me giving the information and the algorithm is just processing it? What would Immanuel Kant's take be on this question about AI?
Well, okay, these are fascinating questions, but they are also very difficult to answer, not least because in Kant's time, artificial intelligence was not a topic for discussion. Kant was mainly interested in human intelligence, its powers and its limits. But we can try to answer the questions nevertheless. So AI has already penetrated our lives in many ways, and it will affect our lives even more as its practical applications are further developed. For example, scientists at Harvard Medical School designed a ChatGPT-like model that has unbelievable diagnostic power in cancer. And this specific system, this AI system, achieved nearly 94% diagnostic accuracy on 19 types of cancer. And it also accurately predicted the treatment response and the patient outcomes. So, I mean, you can imagine how useful this will be in saving lives. So nobody really questions the practical usefulness of AI.
And still, ChatGPT can write a funny joke.
Yeah, that's right. Well, but despite the obvious practical benefits, there's no general consensus on the more, let's say, philosophical questions about artificial intelligence. I mean, for example, about whether it can think for itself, if it can really think for itself, or whether it can really learn anything.
But why do we talk about learning instead of thinking?
Okay. I mean, the question of learning is very important because it's a key difference between simple algorithms and artificial intelligence. So traditional algorithmic systems are based on basic sets of rules or instructions for solving a problem or performing a task. And this involves a straightforward sequence of steps that do not change. They don't adapt based on any feedback or based on the data or based on the context. So there's really no interaction and no learning involved. And here lies a difference with artificial intelligence, because artificial intelligence, on the other hand, refers to more advanced computational systems. These do operate with algorithms. However, these algorithms are complex in that they can learn, adapt, and make decisions based on data. So they are interactive and dynamic, and they improve their performance over time. And that's why these algorithms involved in AI are considered to be so-called learning algorithms. But this is a claim made by some scientists, and this claim is questionable. A philosopher might have an entirely different definition and criteria with respect to what really amounts to learning. So what would Immanuel Kant have to say about this? What would it take for artificial intelligence to be able to truly learn something about the world? And I had asked Dr. Sophie Müller, who is a Kant specialist at the University of Cologne in Germany, and this is what she had to say.
Now, of course, artificial intelligence wasn't available at the time Kant wrote and thought his works in philosophy. And what he was mainly concerned with was, of course, human intelligence and our way of thinking. And he understood human intelligence as relying on two stems or two sources. And those sources are sensibility, so what we learn from the senses, what we see, what we hear, what we feel, what we smell, etc. That's the first source. The second source is our system of reasoning, our concepts, our understanding. And his fundamental idea was that these two sources are mixed, so that already in the senses we have something that is shaped by our concepts. So, of course, our reasoning already shapes the way we sense the world, which means that we do not have anything like raw sense data, but that the way we sense the world is already shaped by our own cognitive makeup. Now, AI doesn't have this sort of sensibility, so you would have to rethink what a similar understanding of sensibility might be for AI if we were to say that it thinks or acquires knowledge about the world in the same way that human beings might. Because, of course, the way human beings acquire knowledge about the world is that we sense something about the world and we then try to systematize it in order to really have knowledge. Kant says that we need to have a systematic approach to understanding the world. So we might think that we take a bunch of notes about what we learn about the world, but if I don't have a systematic idea guiding how I organize these notes, how I archive them, then I can't say that I have knowledge. If you ask me where to find my Kant books, if I don't have some sort of system of how I organize my bookshelves, I couldn't find those books, and I wouldn't say that I have knowledge without this systematicity. So what regards systematicity, we could probably say that AI might develop a way of systematizing its input, but we would also have to say that it should have some sort of input that corresponds to the way that human beings sense the world. And this still seems to be lacking. Perhaps images might count, but even those, they're input by other people. So it still seems to be lacking quite far behind to how Kant understood human intelligence.
So basically, while AI does have the systematicity, the algorithms that regulate its system, it is still missing the sensory input, which is a necessary part of learning from the perspective of human intelligence. One could, of course, respond to that by saying that artificial intelligence is not the same as human intelligence and that we should simply stop comparing it to human intelligence. And indeed, I mean, while AI in some respects resembles human thinking and learning, still the way it operates has significant differences, both in terms of the sheer volume of information processed, as well as in terms of the way the processing is done. AI systems are looking at vast amounts of data, so-called big data, and very quickly, which greatly surpasses the powers of human intelligence. But it's not just the size of data that the AI processes. The way it does it also differs. AI does not just read a lot of information very quickly, but it processes the data in multiple ways very quickly. So it looks at thousands of dimensions of data. It processes the information in many different ways and from various parameters, discovering new patterns and correlations before it gives you an answer.
Still not a single joke, Christos.
Still not a single joke. And this kind of processing is so different to human thinking, to human intelligence, that we cannot directly grasp all of these processes. I mean, we cannot repeat them in our mind. We can only imagine how they are done and talk about them metaphorically.
So maybe we should simply accept that artificial intelligence is different to human intelligence and just give up on the comparison?
I think it's inevitable to compare it to human intelligence and to try to make sense of it in terms of human intelligence, because that's the only intelligence we have anyway. It's the intelligence we use in order to identify something as artificial intelligence, and identify the similarities or the differences. So it's the way we make sense of the world and of any form of processing whatsoever. So when we compare AI to human intelligence from Kant's perspective, as Dr. Miller has said, AI cannot really learn.
Okay, but what about thinking? It cannot learn about the world because it has no sensory input, but can it perhaps autonomously think?
Okay, I asked Dr. Miller about this too, and this is what she had to say.
Now, Kant has this understanding of common sense, which is not just common sense in the sense that it's what you can rely on as everybody knowing, but common sense as what allows us to understand each other, what allows us to convince other people with reasoning, what allows us to use arguments. And he thinks that thinking for yourself also includes thinking from the perspective of others and thinking coherently. So if we were to have a robust understanding of AI thinking for itself in the way that human beings also think for themselves, we would have to say that it would also have to be capable of putting itself in other people's shoes and thinking consistently in terms of understanding, if I take this standpoint, would there then be objectives? Would this infringe on what other people think? And that requires quite a robust understanding of perspective and an understanding of who am I in the world, who are others in the world, which is something that AI currently does not have, and requires an understanding of both what it is to be an individual, but also what it is to be a collective of thinkers. And that sort of understanding of the collective who share certain ways of thinking and certain thinking structures and certain systematic approaches to the world is something that AI doesn't have currently.
So I think the takeaway coming out of Dr. Miller's answer is that AI cannot distinguish between its own code, its own algorithm, and the external world. Everything is a part of its code, and therefore it misses the crucial capacity to change perspective, to think from another's standpoint, and is therefore missing common sense, which is needed in order to think for oneself.
I have a question, okay? It doesn't make any sense, but I will ask anyway. What I understand from Dr. Miller's answer is that AI is not aware of others, right? Mm-hmm. But is AI aware of itself? Does it have self-awareness?
Okay, so this takes us to the issue of self-consciousness or mm-hmm. self-awareness, which is another hot question concerning AI. I mean, will it ever achieve self-awareness? So the question here is, what would need to be in place so that AI attains real self-consciousness? And this was the last question I had asked Dr. Miller, and this is what she said.
Now, self-consciousness of a thinking being is, for Kant, the awareness that I am a spontaneous thinker. What does it mean to be a spontaneous thinker? Well, spontaneity means that I can cause thoughts, I can act, I can do things, also just in my thought activity, that hasn't been determined of what came before. So if I want right now to imagine a pink elephant, I can do so. I do not have to be determined by some sort of chain of events that makes me think of a pink elephant. I can just do so. If I want right now to go and have a cup of coffee, I can go and have a cup of coffee without any kind of causal chain going ahead of my decision to go and have that cup of coffee. Now, self-awareness of an autonomous human being is the awareness that when I think something, I do so spontaneously. I'm not determined by what comes ahead. If AI were to acquire something like this, it means that it can have this activity without it being prompted by anything else ahead of time. And the way AI works at the moment, it needs to be prompted by some sort of input that asks it to come up with a recipe, a picture, some sort of process. So there's always an input that gives it commands or orders and requires it to do something. This is something that's not the case for human beings because we are spontaneous thinkers. And I think a lot of science fiction and a lot of what we're afraid of is for AI to achieve this sort of spontaneity. So if we were to say that it should achieve self-consciousness, in Kant's terms, it would have to have this sort of process where it spontaneously decides things without that being completely determined by what comes ahead. And that, of course, would be the sort of AI that isn't just responsive to what comes in, but reacts to that spontaneously. So that would be something quite different from the AI we have today. And of course, it would be something that comes much closer to human intelligence, because of course, what Kant was thinking about was human thought activity, human intelligence, and especially human action. Because anytime he wanted to think about human thought activity, he also wanted to think about human action. And what's interesting from an AI point of view is that if we think of thought activity as action, well, then we also need to think of it as free. And this is something that AI hasn't achieved yet, if it may ever achieve it.
So if I understood correctly what Dr. Miller said, to be a self-conscious being for Kant means that I must be able to think and act spontaneously, right? Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what an icebreaker joke needs.
That's right. Yeah. As far as I understand, artificial intelligence has not achieved real spontaneity or real serendipity since computation, despite the complexity and adaptability of the algorithm, it is still computation that is bound to a causal chain of events. For example, AI has not achieved real randomness. I mean, random number generators are actually pseudo-random. It still remains a predictable process. So going back to your question about whether AI can actually produce a really random icebreaker joke.
Yes.
I cannot see how it can. However, I think it can produce a great icebreaker joke and learn how to do it consistently. But still, that would not be real learning or real spontaneity from the perspective of Kant. But it would just be a kind of mimicry.
So what you're telling me is that a comedian is one of the top professions of the future.
Yeah, that's right. Like philosophers. I mean, AI progresses so quickly that by the time this episode airs, perhaps everything we said will be outdated.
Yeah, I know.
Well, Hambiz, I hope we managed to answer some of the questions about Kant and AI. I mean, I'm not sure if the answers are reassuring to you. Perhaps you do need to worry as a comedian about unfair competition from AI?
I'll think about it. Okay.
I am Dr. Christos Hadjioannou.
And I am Hambiz Damianou.
Thank you for listening to Kant Talk 2.0 and for joining us as we try to answer the question, what would Kant say about artificial intelligence? Join us for our next episode titled, Is My Instagram Selfie Beautiful? Where we'll explore Kant's theory of beauty.